Thank you for that music, for that opportunity to sing about just new life that we're always getting daily from our Savior Jesus Christ. And that is where our message goes today as we look at the reading from Ezekiel. So we ask God's blessing on this time that we have in the Word together, that it may support us in hearing His grace and peace. We often get asked, how are you doing today? We get asked that question a lot. We answer that question very seldom. We often just say, fine. But if somebody was really ready to listen to us, how are you doing today? How are you feeling today? We often are carrying things with us that we're sometimes aware of, sometimes maybe not so aware of if we are taking that question seriously. And maybe even hearing the scripture readings today as we thought about the circumstances that Ezekiel was looking at with dry bones, or that we're seeing about how we're constantly challenged in life as we look at Romans 8, or as you were hearing about the death of Lazarus and the way that Mary and Martha were wondering, why didn't Jesus come earlier? And as he himself wept, and as we heard about his weeping in the gospel lesson, the sky opened up above us. It was kind of dramatic to hear that. Those sometimes bring out the things that we're carrying in life that we're not always looking at when somebody says, how are you doing today? Maybe it's a worry or a burden that we're carrying that's deep down inside. Well, as we look at Ezekiel's prophecy today, it's an opportunity for us to dig into that a little bit and to hear more about that and to think about that and to hear God's word to us in the midst of that. Ezekiel was a prophet whose ministry came during the exile of the people of Judah. He was in Babylon along with the people who had been taken there away from their homeland, away from their familiarity, away from their physical place where they had their symbols of their relationship with God. And he's known for his outlandish images of what God was still going to do for his people, even though they were in a hopeless place. And so we see his prophecy about the valley of the dry bones today, the valley that's covered with bones. And I think sometimes we hear that valley of dry bones and immediately our minds go to that Negro spiritual song about which bones are connected to what bones, and kids singing that and getting their little anatomy awareness built up by that. And we miss the big picture of what Ezekiel was immersed in. So we're going to delve into that a little bit more. But we're also going to see that as God has this conversation with Ezekiel in that setting, God extends three invitations to Ezekiel. We'll be revisiting that. One is, look around where you're at. Examine the bones. Examine what is here. Examine what this situation means. And then the second piece is, the second invitation is, hear what I'm giving you to speak to this situation. Here's what I'm giving you to say to this. And then the third part is, here I'm going to also ask you to talk to me, to talk to the Spirit, to bring back to me the promises that you know I've given you so that I can hear from you that you are counting on those and you are reminding me to act in faithfulness to those. So those three invitations are what's building our structure for today. And those are the things that God said to Ezekiel in the midst of that prophecy. Examine where you are. Speak to that situation with what I give you, and also speak back to me about my promises. So the first part of this is fully seeing where we're at, fully seeing our desperation. God says, he puts Ezekiel in that situation of the valley of dry bones, and he says, look around at what you see. Look at these bones. Look at what is here. And if we stop to think about what Ezekiel was seeing, what those bones meant to him, I think it's helpful to hear what historians say about a situation like that that people might encounter. My children turned me on to a podcast called Hardcore History, where Dan Carlin is a person who does a lot of history study on his own and will produce episodes about the World War I, where you have five podcasts that are 3 hours long and you can sit and listen to all these details. He's done a series on the Persian Wars that were taking place around the time of Christ, a little bit before that. And he talks about battles being taking place in situations where the number of people that were dying in those battles were actually causing an obstruction, people fighting over the top of them. And that when somebody won a battle, they might retrieve their people from the battlefield. But if someone's been chased away in retreat, they don't reclaim those bodies. Those bodies lie in that open field. And so that's a devastating scene, to see that people are not attended to. In fact, it was an insult that we even hear in the Bible. When people are fighting each other, they're saying, I'm going to leave your body out here in the field for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field to go and pick off. And so what we're seeing in this valley of dry bones is an army that was defeated. A people that were totally defeated to the point that nobody was there to tend for them when they died. And the valley is full of these bones. As you look at the skeletons that are left, you will see the trauma that took place, either in the battle, in the way that the skulls have their mouths agape, or the way that limbs are severed, the way that there's even marks inflicted on the bones. And you also see the insult of what happened as time has aged and dried these bones out. A totally hopeless situation, a totally non-rectifiable situation for anything good coming from this. And so God asks Ezekiel the question, can these bones live? Is there any hope for these people that these bones represent? And Ezekiel has nothing. There's nothing to go for there that can be brought out of these bones other than to say, Lord, if you're asking me the question, you're the one that must know about that. This is beyond anything that we can do. So when God was asking Ezekiel about these bones, Ezekiel had in mind what God was talking about, the context of who he was talking about immediately. The people he was living with, the people of Judah, that were in Babylon, that were taken away from their country, that were taken away from their temple. In fact, their temple was destroyed and its contents were looted. The victors not only took them away, but they took away their... It'd be like dismantling your place of worship and having everything that's part of that life together in worship taken away by somebody else, and you don't have it anymore. Ezekiel was living in exile with them in that sense of being cut off from all the things that God had promised to them, and even possibly from the future that God had promised them in the coming of the Messiah. There was a temptation to leave even that promise behind. The bones were drying out in the field. As we think about what that message might mean to us, what those bones might mean to us, we can see the times of desperation and dryness in our life, where we experience a loss that seems devastating, where we don't know if we'll survive, much less recover. It might be an illness that suddenly has overtaken us, or that we suddenly understand is going to be threatening our life. It could be relationships that are in trouble, in fact, in which we find ourselves struggling even for our own identity. We might be facing an economic threat, something that's tearing at our way of having a living, our way of holding our life together and having the things that we need. Or even in the midst of those contexts and others, finding ourselves to fail to be the kind of person that we are called to be, and wondering how can we overcome that? How can we overcome our own failure? When God tells Ezekiel, look at the bones, take a good look at what's there, he's inviting us to not run away from that reality, to see that situation that we are in the midst of, not avoiding it, but looking at it honestly, and to know that damage that we are surveying runs even deeper than the surface of who we are and how we're dealing with that. It runs into the very brokenness of this world, the brokenness of ourselves, the brokenness of other people. And that's where that pain ultimately is coming from. And the depth of that pain, the desperation of that pain is very great. But even as we're looking at that part of our life, that part of the picture, we know it's not the whole picture. Because God is asking us this question, can these bones live? God has not left us with nothing but despair. And so that brings us to that second invitation. Even in the question, can these bones live, it leads to something else. The second invitation is also the mandate. I will tell you if these bones can live. They can. In fact, you are the one who are going to speak to them and tell them, my word is that you will live. God tells Ezekiel to speak to the bones, to prophesy to them, to say God's word to them, to answer that only you know, Lord, and to speak his word saying, you will live. And Ezekiel says, even as he was saying those words, the rattling of the bones started happening. Things started coming back together. And God was rebuilding those very people that were scattered over the face of that field. God says, speak to those bones. Speak to that life. Speak that life back into them. And that actually starts happening. God calls us to do the same thing in our situations, and often we're better able to do that for somebody else as they're carrying pain than maybe they can do for themselves because they can feel lost in their painful situation. But it's sometimes hard to do that because we are uncomfortable and we don't know exactly what to say. And so sometimes we have our set way of saying things. We become so predictable that people may not be able to hear the meaning behind our words. It's kind of like the children's sermon that I heard was a conversation that was taking place in a church where the person leading the children's sermon was asking the kids about a little bit of an object lesson and asked them, so there's a small animal that is furry and runs around in trees and gathers nuts. What is that? And the kid, nobody was answering the question. And one kid hesitantly said, he raised his hand and says, you know, Pastor, I think you're talking about a squirrel, but I know the answer is Jesus. We sometimes have that idea that, you know, the answer is always Jesus. If we just Jesus this, somehow it will get better. And so we sometimes talk to people in their time of pain or even tell ourselves in time of pain, well, just give it to Jesus. Or God will never give us things that are beyond our ability to bear. Or some other thing that just kind of naturally rolls off our tongue without really addressing that person's pain. But really what God is calling us to do in those times when we're having conversations about this and when we're prophesying about this is to acknowledge life is overwhelming. Sin wants to destroy us. People are really broken. But God still loves us in the middle of that. God still loves us and He's here. And He is powerful, and He is already working in ways we can't even see. God calls us to get beyond the things that just immediately come to our mind and to dig deeper into what His message is and to take that in more fully. When God tells Ezekiel to speak that to the bones, He's also saying that we speak that reality into places that seem like it's impossible for something to happen. And I think we can think not about only our own situations and other people's situations of despair, but to think about speaking that reality to people that we sometimes dismiss. The person that we have conflict with, that we wonder if they're even going to hear us. The one that we don't even want to deal with, but maybe God has a way for us to still be relating to them and modeling to them that God's love and His peace is still there. The person whose lifestyle has led to insurmountable consequences for them and they seem so lost and so broken that we wonder what we can do. Or the person who seems to be immune from everything that goes on for other people in the world because they have a position of power or comfort and they're doing things that are damaging to others and they just can't even hear that about themselves. In those situations that seem to be hopeless, that anything could change, that anything could get better, God says, speak to that. Speak to those bones. And if you take that one step further, I think God is often calling us to go after the lost causes, to go after the situations that seem like there's just hopelessness there and walk right into them. There's a person who's, as a young man, was struggling. You might see his picture up there, and the name Amos Mazyad Yaqub Kairos. You probably don't recognize that name. You might vaguely recognize the face, and I'm dating myself by even bringing this person up. This was a person who was trying to make his name in comedy. Name's a barrier to begin with there. He wasn't doing very well. He had a new wife and a small child, and he was not making a living very well. And so as he was at a nightclub, a stagehand said to him, "You know, I know you're struggling right now, and I just went through a situation that I was struggling with. My wife had cancer they said was incurable. And so I heard about St. Jude, the patron saint of lost causes. And I started praying to St. Jude, and my wife got better." And I know in our Lutheran tradition, that's not something that we do, pray to saints. We pray directly to Jesus, knowing that our help comes from him. But in this person's Catholic understanding of things, identifying with St. Jude as someone who identified with lost causes was something that he thought he could bring some help to this person. And so that person started doing that, and he actually ended up changing his name, having some other nightclubs that he was doing his act in. He changed his name to Danny Thomas, so that might be a little more familiar to you. And he started having a little bit more success. He started getting better situations. And he would go do his act, and early in the morning he would be done. And on his way home, he would stop for Mass at the Catholic Church and give an acknowledgement for what his identifying with St. Jude had brought to his life. And even as he became successful, he said, "I want to do something that honors what God has done for me and go after other lost causes," putting the name St. Jude to that. And so he looked for a way to do that, and he started a hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, because children in that community needed medical help. And as he started St. Jude Medical Center, he also said, "Well, let's not just make this about children in this community that need help. Let's go after the really hopeless situations where children have cancer and invite them to come to receive treatment here." And in following that tradition, St. Jude Medical Center is one that's look for those situations that are uncurable and say, how can we do research into how to intervene, how to make that better? And Daddy Thomas was the founder and fundraiser for that. His daughter Marlo Thomas went after him to continue to support that financially. Now it's an institution that's known across the United States. So God said to Ezekiel, "Speak to the bones. New life will come to these bones. They will come together in a way that's powerful." And we see a number of ways that we do that in our own lives. And then comes that third invitation. Not only speak to the bones, he'd spoken to the bones rattled and came together. They got tendons and sinew on them. They got muscles on them. They got skin covering them. But they weren't yet alive. And so God said to Ezekiel next, "Call to the Spirit." The spirit of life that comes out of the four winds in the ways that it was being described in Ezekiel's situation. The word spirit in Hebrew and in Greek is also the word for wind, for breath. And so as God is telling Ezekiel to call to the winds, he's talking about calling to the spirit that when Adam was first formed, was brought into Adam and bringing him to life, as God breathed into him the breath of life. God is calling upon Ezekiel to call that same breath of life to come to these bones, because they were not just being resuscitated. They were being recreated. That which is too far gone is redeemed. And God says, as he talks about Ezekiel doing this, he says, you're going to get examples and glimpses of how this is going to happen in the life of the people you are living with, the people of Judah who are going to come back to their homes. But you will fully see this when I open your graves and bring you out of them. As we experience God speaking to us, God coming to us with His Spirit and enlivening our situations that we're dealing with in life that are challenging us, we're really entering into that greater mystery of how God brings life out of death. That God takes us when we're beyond hope and doesn't just fix us. He brings us through a death and resurrection process that brings us back to life in a new way. Remember the gospel reading today? As Jesus hears that Lazarus is ill, He gets the word from Mary and Martha. And because he loved Mary and Martha, what did he do? He waited. He waited two more days before going to see Lazarus. And when he gets there, and he says, take me to the place where you've laid him, and take away the stone, they tell him, we don't want to do that, because his body will have decomposed already. There'll be an odor. He's too far gone to be resuscitated. CPR will not help this person. He is not on the verge of death or just past death. He's died and his body's falling apart. And yet, Jesus says, open the grave. And he calls him out. There are other times in the history of God's work with his people where he did the same kind of thing. When the people of Israel are leaving Egypt and they're following Moses and they get to the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army is chasing them, they're basically saying, what are we going to do now? Moses says to them, stop. And there's nothing you can do. So it's not like, don't just sit there, do something. It's don't do something, just sit there and watch the army of the Pharaoh come at you. And it's after that had happened that God directed Moses to open up the Red Sea. And the exile happens later on in the time of Ezekiel. The temple's destroyed. The king from the Davidic line is killed. People are hauled away from their promised land. And they're left with this question of why, that we often ask. Why did God allow these things to happen? And what God asks Ezekiel to do is to call the spirit into that chaos and into that need and understand that God will keep his promises. In fact, talk to God. Talk to the spirit and know that the promises are true. Reflect that back to God. The spirit is here already and he's breathing life into the situation. And so the people that were the bones are remade. They have not only a physical restoration, but also an intentional spiritual recreation. And as we go through those times in life that we're struggling, we go through little Good Fridays and Easters. We are encountering death and the losses that we face. And yet God is using those experiences to also see his power in our life and to bring new life to us. Paul said in one of his letters, we face death all day long. And God says back to that in Ezekiel's passages, I will open your graves and you will know the answer to the question, can these bones live? And ultimately, at the end, you will know the answer to the bigger questions of why and how all this fits together. And so as we go through the experiences in life that bring us to those times of renewal that God calls us to, as we realize the dryness of our bones, as we know that he's coming with his help, we prophesy to that situation, we reflect that back to him. We're also waiting for that ultimate resurrection that comes when our life is restored, when Jesus comes again. But as we wait for that, we speak hope to despair. We speak truth to power. We prophesy to the reality of God's grace still present in life's losses. We look for the lost causes in our own life and in the lives of others. And we prophesy to the bones. And we speak back to the Spirit. We confess that we don't understand, that we don't know how these bones can live, but that God does. And that God is willing it to be. And that God can even use his word through us to make that happen. God is present, and God is acting, and God is powerful. And so as we hear Ezekiel's words, as we see his pictures, may we continue to carry that understanding of God's powerful grace in our life as we live out our lives and as we share lives with others. Amen.